KCW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming
ABC
on
News,
the Civic
Dave
Media
Packard.
App.
In Jacksonville, Florida, Duval County Sheriff T.K. Waters identifying the gunman who opened fire Saturday in a Dollar General store in a predominantly black neighborhood, killing two men and one woman before turning the gun on himself as 21-year-old Ryan Christopher Palmetter. There was a vigil today for the dead. Jacksonville Mayor Donna Deegan was there and said, "Don't be so dismissive of those who give a common response to the tragedy."
"I think we should be very careful of criticizing people who offer thoughts and prayers. Thoughts are powerful. The thoughts in the mind of that young man were very powerful. Prayer is powerful."
At least three Marines reported killed during a joint military exercise in Australia. 20 others were severely injured when their Osprey aircraft went down on Melville Island near Darwin. The Trump campaign says it raised $7.1 million since Thursday night when its mugshot in the Georgia election case was released, and that Friday was Trump's best fundraising day of the cycle. This is ABC News. Russia now confirming mercenary chief and mutineer Yevgeny Prigozhin was killed in a plane crash last week. U.S. intelligence believes a bomb probably brought down the aircraft. Big savings at a theater near you today. It's National Cinema Day, with movie theaters offering $4 admission deals for all movies at all showtimes, even IMAX formats. ABC's Lionel Moise reports.
Summer blockbusters like Barbie and Oppenheimer have been bringing people back into theaters following the pandemic and competition from streaming, and you can see those at a steep discount. And the good news, many theaters are also offering deals on concessions. You can go to nationalcinemaday.org to find a theater near you.
Messi mania last night. Soccer star Lionel Messi scored the winning goal for Inter Miami in his Major League Soccer debut. He swooped in during the 89th minute, leading Miami to victory over the New York Red Bulls. Dave Packer, ABC News.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Hi, my name is Representative Schmidt. I represent Assembly District 6. My family owns a dairy farm called Schmidt's Ponderosa, the south of Bondwell, and I'm the third generation. I farm with my parents and two other siblings. I currently take care of the dry cows and other odds and ends on the farm. That allows me to be flexible with my position in Madison. The rural folks in the rural parts of the state, they understand their natural resources and the urgency to protect them and preserve for future generations. Urban people like the rural folks because we're very warm and generous, and that's where we kind of get lost with the partisan politics. Both sides of us at the end of the day, we love the state of Wisconsin.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Reports on electric vehicle sales are mixed. Mike Mohn spoke with analysts who say electric vehicle sales trends are encouraging.
Wisconsin has lagged behind other states in electric vehicle registrations, with data showing it ranks 35th in the nation. But the Wisconsin Policy Forum notes that registrations have increased on average by nearly 52% each year over the past decade. As for reports of high inventories, Chris Hardo of Consumer Reports says the estimates exclude EV-only dealers and that their inventories are well below the industry average. Hardo acknowledges that higher interest rates might eventually put a dent in sales of all vehicles, but he says it hasn't happened yet. Customers are still snatching up cars that were hard to find when the pandemic was crippling supply chains. And he says the public remains intrigued by the EV market.
Our surveys to date have showed a pretty significant chunk of the American car buying public who are interested in buying electric vehicle are curious about buying electric vehicle.
It's just an open question of when a lot of these consumers will take the plunge as more EV models come on board. Hardo's analysis finds that 70% of EV sales this year are from just 9 models, all of which have a starting price under $45,000 when factoring in incentives. That's below the average new vehicle price. He suggests those models can be competitive sales-wise, as opposed to higher-priced luxury EVs. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our rate trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
What's that word?
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways.
I think it's indicates.
Indicative? Is that the word you were looking
that
for?
That is a good word, Kristen Bright.
A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bright does not believe in friendship.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
All right. Kind of a different topic than normal for this morning, but how much did your car cost you? And I don't even know. I mean, the truth is, I'm thinking back on my car right now, and I know what my monthly payments are, but I actually, looking back at it,
don't remember.
Off the top of my head, don't remember. Because it was like, all right, well, what am I going to know? If I'm leasing, how much am I going to owe for how many months? Because you're not paying the full cost of the car.
Right.
But I'm curious as to what your current car cost you, because as of right now, there is only a single model that costs less than $20,000.
That's unreal.
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
There's only one new car left under $20,000. It's a Mitsubishi Mirage.
Does it have wheels?
It does have wheels.
Okay, good.
But I'm curious, just for context of how much more expensive things are, just in general, what did you pay for your car? 844-967-2789. And I guess also then, does this make you want to hold on to that car for as long as possible?
Drive it until the doors fall off.
Because so a Mitsubishi Mirage was the cheapest new car on the U.S. market last month. You know, and I think it's, you know, if public transit's not your thing, and most of our places, like, it's not an option.
Right.
Like, we don't have, unless you live, like, the East Coast is pretty good, but most of the state, most of the country, to be able to get around the way you need to get around either takes a lot of time, if you're going to take public transit.
For sure.
Or is actually just not possible. And so for the most part, we've built a lot of our state, cities, country in as a way that you need to have a car one way or another. So, but as of, so Cox Automotive found that Mitsubishi Mirage was the only new model going for less than $20,000 last month. And its average selling price is $19,205. But the middle of the road new car cost, as of July 2023, middle of the road, what do you think it was, Jane?
Oh, I'm afraid. 32.
Higher.
36.
48.
Is the middle of the road?
It's the middle of the road. It up 30% since 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. And used cars are no better. The average July price for a used car was $27,000. Which is also a hike from a 30% hike from 2019. And, you know, This is a strain on the family budget. Like, you think about, I was looking this up this morning as far as what the suggested budget breakdown is for your, you know, your monthly take-home pay is this, and 30% should go to housing, and 10 to 15% should go to transit. And transit is not only your car payment, it's also gas.
And what about maintenance?
And maintenance, yeah, and if you get in an accident. But it takes over 42 weeks of median household income to cover the average car cost, the average cost of a new car. And on the top high of high prices, high interest loans are also now a burden, because a record 17.1% of new car owners had a monthly payment above $1,000 a month.
I can't even imagine.
How much you're supposed to be spending. Like, I was doing the math this morning, and if the median income in Wisconsin is around $67,000, at least according to this source, sometimes I see different ones, but it's always somewhere between like $50,000 and $70,000. So that means your take-home pay is a little more than $4,000 a month, which means that's what you should be spending on, like, your rent or mortgage is $1,000 a
month.
Right. Not a car.
Right.
So I'm just curious, how much did you spend on your car? Not a good thing or a bad thing, but just as you're putting this in context of how much did you spend on your car now? And even more, how much did you spend on your first car, if you remember that? 844-967-2789.
Tom from West Dallas. Good morning, Tom. What did you shell out for your wheels?
Well, actually, I've never bought new. I never saw the point in it. So basically, my last vehicle, I traded in two pickup trucks for one pickup truck plus $5,000. That pickup truck I'm still driving. It's an 01. I had a problem with it. I took it into the dealer to fix, which I knew was a dumb thing, but I did it anyways. And I, for giggles, went in to talk to a salesman. I spec'd out my 2001 Dodge Ram with a diesel engine for a brand new, and I grant this is 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
My truck, brand new, 4 or 5 years ago, with all the bells and whistles that mine had, $63,000.
For all the bells and whistles.
And for everyone that my truck that I am currently driving has.
Oh, but just new.
But brand new.
Okay.
Also, I have been looking for another truck, but I want, what I want is a diesel, because I like my diesel. I pull a big trailer. I found a 98 Dodge Ram pickup truck, just like mine, but a few years older, used for $15,000.
Wow. I'm guessing.
Granted, it looked like new, but it's used. It's a 22, or that was a 24-year-old truck.
Oh, for a 24-year-old truck, yeah.
For a used truck, and I've seen them go anywhere between like $8,000 to $15,000 for a 20-some-year-old truck.
Yeah. Wow.
That to me is insane also.
Well, it's also, like, can Jane, you said how much on your first car?
My first car was $8,000.
Which, again, we'll adjust for inflation. I'll get the inflation calculator up. But, like, do you think you could even find a car for less than $10,000 right now?
Not if you want used wheels.
Yeah.
For used, you can, but it's you got to look and see what you're buying.
Yes.
You know,
likelihood of lemon high.
Well, yeah, you're going right, to end up right. You're going to end up throwing so much money into maintenance or getting it up to speed. Is that worth it then?
Right. Right. Now I've also bought an 01 VW Beetle. I'll never buy a VW again. I loved my Beetle, but this, the things you had to do, you had to have special tools for it. I thought that was ridiculous. That I bought knowing that the transmission was not good on it. And
wait, what's wrong with the VW? Because I'm thinking about buying the VW Tiguan I drive now and buying my lease out. Should I not do that?
Well, I no.
Oh. No,
Tom says no.
There's even a guy on YouTube, Scotty Kilmer, who he just slams VWs, talking about like windshield wipers. There's a computer that runs the windshield wipers. There's no need for that. And if your windshield wipers go bad, well, now you're spending a few $1,000 just because the computer went bad. But mine, granted, that was an 01. I needed special. I like to work on my vehicles, and I needed special tools to work on it for no reason.
All right.
I could just tell you too that it had a the injection pump had plates on it, and one of those plates was leaking. Well, it had three normal bolts, and it had one special bolt that I had to buy a tool specifically for that. I'm like, why couldn't you just put four normal bolts? VWs used to be the people's car. They were simple to work on. Now, no. No,
well, I don't think I'm trying to work on my car anytime soon, but I will take that into consideration for what I do with my purchase. But thanks so much for the call, Tom.
Thanks a lot, Tom. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Scott from Chicago. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. Yeah, my first car was, I believe, about 4,000, needed about 1,000 repairs. Did not last very long. Second car, about 4,500, needed about 2,000 repairs, but that was also hybrid. And then my current car, I actually bought from a friend for about 5,000, which was about 3,000 under market value. And I mean, it's going great.
All right.
But also, my friend repaired his own car and really kept it up and all that. So, yeah, I mean, anything under about 7 or 8, you're going to be putting in a few thousand in repairs.
Yeah,
for sure.
You're going to pay for it. I mean, that's like one way or another, you're probably going to pay over 10 grand, whether it's the cost of the car. But yeah, I mean, to even think that like used cars that are in good condition are
few and far between.
Yeah, totally.
Few and far between.
Thanks for the call, Scott.
844-967-2789. Texter from the 262. Seems like in the near future, the average American is going to have to pick between reliable transportation or owning a home.
I mean, maybe. Like, it's
so expensive.
It's so expensive of how you do both. Or, like, like I said, you come back to a place where, like, you need a car. In most places, you need a car.
844-967-2789. Dave from Mequon. Good morning, Dave. We got about 2 minutes.
All right. Good morning. Well, my first car, I spent $6,000, and it worked very well. I was happy about it. I actually, fortunately, have a friend of mine who is in the used car business, and so I always am able to get a very nice used car. I never, other than one time in my life, I've never purchased new. I purchased generally used. And I actually bought a few cars during COVID when Hertz was doing the bankruptcy and up picking up a couple cars there. They were just giving them away with almost no miles because nobody was driving them. And so I got lucky in that sense. But I would recommend, this is what I would recommend. I mean, some people, you know, obviously dealers are going to always charge more than a private owner would.
Yeah.
And I always strongly recommend trying to find a private owner just because the price that they're going to be asking is automatically going to be lower.
Yep.
And you probably will have a little bit of negotiating power in addition to that. And as long as the car's title's clean and you can get a Carfax, which is easy enough.
That's great advice, you know, Dave. We got to go to a break, so I got to cut you off. Yeah. But thanks for always, as always, for your call. We're going to come back with more of your calls and texts. 844-967-2789. How much should your car cost? Your current car, your first car? Because right now, you can't buy a new car for less than $20,000. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
My name is Leah, and I'm a single mom living in Milton, Wisconsin. I have two kids with severe peanut allergies and asthma. Before Badger Care, I struggled with affording the copays for their life-saving medications. Even with the best insurance available through my full-time job, the EpiPens had a $100 copay, and we needed them for school and home for each of my kids. There was even a point when my daughter had a severe allergic reaction, and I strongly considered not calling 911 due to the cost of the ambulance. I'm grateful that the administrations of President Joe Biden and Governor Tony Evers are working together to give us the tools to improve our health care. Now I no longer have to choose between putting food on the table and providing affordable, life-saving health care for my children. To learn more about how the Inflation Reduction Act and other investments are helping rural communities and families like mine, visit www.abetterwisconsininstitute.org/rural.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Alfheim.
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking about how much does your car cost you? Your current car, or maybe even your first car, although we have to adjust for inflation potentially, depending on if you're my age or Jane's age.
There's a big difference there.
But, and I'm asking this because I saw a headline this morning that there is only one new car left under $20,000, and it's a Mitsubishi Mirage. That the average selling price is around $9,200.
$19,200.
And you know, some of this is to do with the fact that America loves big ass cars.
and even bigger trucks.
And you're about to go to Europe and the land of tiny cars.
Yes.
And I always think about that the handful of times I've been lucky enough to go to Europe is just how little their cars are, which makes sense because there's so many of their cities are more compact. And so being able to actually get into parking spaces and getting around and the streets are more narrow. But America has an obsession with supersized cars. And so the fact is, with that supply and demand, car makers have ditched affordable compact vehicles. And you add on top of that pandemic related supply chain snags, and you just have kind of created a situation where cars are really expensive.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Rick from Wisconsin Rapids. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. I appreciate the conversation that you're all having, and I just wanted to weigh in on it.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the first car that I bought was a Plymouth Duster, and I paid $700, and the body was pretty far along in its decrease, but that car ran forever. It was a good engine.
Yep.
It was a good deal. The car I have now is a Chevy Cobalt. I paid $3,000. I was out of budget and I wanted to pay cash. I've had it for more than 2 years. It's a good runner. There's some other features that I'm not thrilled about. No air conditioning.
Oh boy.
And it would cost me a lot, but I'm very satisfied that for $3,000, and it's been running for more than 2 years.
All right.
That I got a good deal. But can I mention one more thing with the conversation?
Sure.
Or not. Well, I just want to tell you about an experiment I did. You were talking about the cost and how can people afford to have a decent car and to have a place to live and all that. I did an experiment when my last car went out. It was a Saturn and the transmission went out and that was already near 200,000 miles. And I said, I'm not going to fix it. And instead of buying another car, I went on bicycle for 5 years from the time I was age 59 to 64, even in the winter.
Wow.
Winter in Wisconsin Rapids, and you were on a bicycle?
I was the nut that people looked at when it was 20, 25 below the wind chill and said, what is that guy doing?
I'm going to ask my parents. I'm going to say, did you see a guy riding a bike in Wisconsin Rapids? That was Rick.
And Rick, unfortunately, your line is not very good. You're kind of popping in and out a little bit. So thank you so very much for calling. Really, really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Price from Texas. Good morning, Price.
Hey, I know you got people waiting. I'll keep her under 60 seconds. But our hybrid was about 24. That was a 2017 that we got new, but it was like the last one. We got it like the year after. They're trying to get rid of it. Our SUV was an older one, 2011, so that was about 12. And we had payments on that for a long time. We finally got them paid off. But one thing, just tell everybody. They're going to be set. And if you got a decent car, they're going to be sending you, hey, you want to trade in your car? Yeah. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because because used cars are so expensive now, they're just going to flip those cars and make money. It's better to keep that car right now.
Go ahead, Price.
Go ahead, Price. Right.
Oh, no, I just wanted to say this, but also how expensive cars are and how expensive gas is and repairs and everything. It's a public policy failure for public transportation. Public transportation down here in Texas sucks. It's awful. Yeah. I miss Chicago and I miss Milwaukee, even with the buses. The buses were way better. And also, like, work from home, the concessions have to be made because if people can't afford, if people have the internet at home and they can work at home, they should be able to because it's so expensive to commute.
Yeah.
And that's about it, man. Public transportation would help out a lot, but let's go. And that's it for me. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Price.
Thanks a lot,
Price. We appreciate it as always. Well, and that's the situation I found myself in. So my lease is up in November. And besides starting this job, so it's been a little over a year now that I've been mostly commuting to Waukesha, except some days doing the show from home. But for the most part, I'm here. And but prior to that, I mean, it was the pandemic. And so I wasn't really driving a lot at all. And even when I got the car originally in LA for the first, I mean, we only had it for about 6 months before the pandemic started. So there's only like 35,000 miles on it.
Oh, wow.
So Mike, I got to the dealership and they were pushing me hard.
I bet.
To trade it in, upgrade my lease to a newer car. And like they would, you know, all the kind of little dings and stuff that they would just take care of.
Sure, sure.
And I'm not a car person. So I'm like, okay, what? And I'm way too trusting. So I'm just going to like, okay, whatever. Like, sure, like I'll bring the, but of course I've now, this is like the gendered part of my marriage. There's not a lot of it, but sometimes it comes up. And when it comes to like negotiating car stuff, definitely one of them. So Mike looked at everything. He goes, no, they're just trying to get you. They want your car.
Yes.
They want your car so they can flip it.
And make
a ton of money on
exactly.
it. He's like, you've basically a new car. And I think we figured it out. Like my last, I'd owe like $11,000 or something on it as far as where the lease was and versus now. He's like, you're not trading it in. You're going to buy this car. And so it's like, okay,
all
I don't
right
care.
Then.
Like, this is fine. As long as I get new snow tires so the baby's safe, like I'm fine, whatever. But that is exactly what Price said as far as, the pressure was hard.
For sure. These
sales guys, man.
One last text from the 262. I drive a Honda Insight. Think Toyota Prius size. My friends in England would call that their big car.
Yeah, see? All right. Well, when we come back, it is Tuesday at 10:30. So let's recombobulate with the one and only Dan Schaefer, because we have a debate coming up on Wednesday, and he has thoughts. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Jacksonville, Florida, Duval County Sheriff T.K. Waters identifying the gunman who opened fire Saturday in a Dollar General store in a predominantly black neighborhood, killing two men and one woman before turning the gun on himself as 21-year-old Ryan Christopher Palmetter. There was a vigil today for the dead. Jacksonville Mayor Donna Deegan was there and said, don't be so dismissive of those who give a common response to the tragedy.
I think we should be very careful of criticizing people who offer thoughts and prayers. Thoughts are powerful. The thoughts in the mind of that young man were very powerful. Prayer is powerful.
At least three Marines reported killed during a joint military exercise in Australia. 20 others were severely injured when their Osprey aircraft went down on Melville Island near Darwin. The Trump campaign says it raised $7.1 million since Thursday night when its mugshot in the Georgia election case was released, and that Friday was Trump's best fundraising day of the cycle. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Call your local Bug Tussle rep today to find out how you can get free internet service. You heard that right, free internet. Call today before this deal ends. For Shawno and O'Connell Conies, call Amanda at 920-600-4760. That's 920-600-4760. And for Brown, Manitowoc, and Kewaunee Counties, call Scott at 920-530-1311. 920-530-1311.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
So my name is Maddie McCoy. I grew up in Green Bay, so I've been in Wisconsin my whole life. I own my own business. Both of my grandpas were entrepreneurs. For me, doing something on my own and allowing myself to be myself and be creative, actually impact people and see that I really could do that, has been really special. And I'm really grateful I found it as young as I did. I'm proud of the fact that my grandparents were entrepreneurs and I get to do my own thing too.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon. We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Hi, my name is Representative Schmidt. I represent Assembly District 6. My family owns a dairy farm called Schmidt's Ponderosa, that's south of Bondwell, and I'm the third generation. I farm with my parents and two other siblings. I currently take care of the dry cows and other odds and ends on the farm. That allows me to be flexible with my position in Madison. The rural folks in the rural parts of the state, they understand their natural resources and the urgency to protect them and preserve for future generations. Urban people like the rural folks because we're very warm and generous, and that's where we kind of get lost with the partisan politics. Both sides of us at the end of the day, we love the state of Wisconsin.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. A Wisconsin bookstore owner and cryptozoologist is asked to investigate a series of deaths that just might prove a fabled lake monster is real. With her rescue dog, Newt, by her side, Morgan goes on a hunt, but if she's not careful, she could be the next victim. That is the short description of the first installment of a new mystery series by USA Today bestselling author and our guest right now, Wisconsin author Beth Amos. How are you doing, Beth?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you on the show. So that is, as of, I just saw on your Facebook page, as of August 10th, Death in Door County Death in Door County has become a USA Today bestseller as of last week.
Correct. That
congratulations.
Is correct.
Yes. Congratulations. That's so
Thank
exciting.
You.
Wow.
It is, yeah.
And so it was about a decade ago that the last time you made that list, right? So which book was that for?
It was for a book called, I'm trying to remember for sure which one. I think it was Lucky Stiff. It was one of the Maddie Winston books, and actually okay. The publisher had put it on sale, and that prompted a bunch of sales, which managed to get it onto the list a little higher up on, no, I mean, a little lower, I guess, on the list than this one hit, and it was my first time hitting, so that was fun. But yeah, it's been 10 years or more, I think, since that happened. So this was exciting.
That's very exciting. So before we jump into the different series that you've done, the different pseudonyms you've written under, just tell us a little bit more, because you're based in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. How your journey to becoming like a mystery novelist?
Well, I actually started out as a medical freelancer with my writing career. I was a nurse, and I always wanted to do writing and read a lot. And so I managed to segue some of my writing interests at the hospitals that I worked at into writing articles for their magazines and things like that. And that business grew. That was when I lived in Virginia. And then I ended up, once I sold my very first book, which was actually a Dean Koontz type of book, not so much a mystery, but more of a thriller, a paranormal thriller, I decided to step away from nursing for a few years and focus on my writing, and made enough money off of my freelance work for probably about 6 years to stay away from nursing. But I kind of missed it and the camaraderie of working with those folks. And I had an idea for a new series that I wanted to do. And my first three books, all of which were Dean Koontz type paranormal thriller books with HarperCollins. Before the third book came out, HarperCollins did some shifting around in the whole publishing industry back then. This was in the late 90s, was kind of worried about what was happening with ebooks, and there was a lot of merging going on and selling going on, and a lot of authors were getting shifted around and dropped, and I was one of the people that got dropped from HarperCollins. So, and then about a year and a half later, my agent got frustrated and she decided to retire and leave the business. So my writing career kind of came to a screeching halt. And I had another project I was working on where I wanted to use the humor of the medical people that I've worked with over the years, because they're just some of the funniest people that I've ever encountered. You need to have a sense of humor to work in the medical field.
Yeah.
That it's kind of a dark sense of humor at times, but I wanted a way to utilize that in my writing. And I kept trying to make sort of a funny mystery series, and I had it set in Virginia because that's where I lived at the time when I started writing it, and it just wasn't working. And then I moved to Wisconsin, and as I got to know Wisconsin, I rewrote the book and put it in Wisconsin, because Wisconsin's just quirky enough and strange enough and weird enough that it all worked. And funny enough. I mean, people in Wisconsin are funny, too. They have great senses of humor. And I had gone back to work in nursing, working in the emergency department, which is a great source for characters and plots and all kinds of things. So eventually, I got that first book written. It took me a while to find another agent. Had one and fired him in the process. So it was about 8 years, I think, in between my third book with Harper coming out and the first book with this new series coming out. And that was with Kensington, which is a New York publisher, but a smaller family-owned publisher. And I had to come up with a new name to publish under, because my own name, Beth Amos, was now dirt, because my third book with HarperCollins hadn't sold very well because they dropped me before it came out. So they didn't do anything to market it or, you know, sell it. I mean, they basically did nothing. So the sales were terrible, and book buyers have very long memories, apparently. So they wanted me to come up with a pseudonym to publish under, market me, newly discovered author. Plus, I was working in the ER at the time, and I really didn't, my character is a, you know, solving mysteries, and I didn't want my patients knowing that I spent my spare time thinking up fun ways to kill people. So it seemed like a pseudonym was a good idea. And I came up with Annalise Ryan because my son's name is Ryan and my middle name is Anne, and it was going to be initially just Anne Ryan, but they said that was too common. They wanted something a little more unique. So Annalise was my name in German class in high school. So I said, okay, Annalise Ryan. And they liked that. And Annalise Ryan was born. And she's doing much better in her career than Beth Amos is. So
That is so, because, but then there's also Alison Abbott, right?
Well, there is, because yes, about five books into my Annalise Ryan, Maddie Winston series, the nurse who goes to work for a coroner in a small town in Wisconsin, my editor there said, you know, I've always envisioned a series that takes place in a bar, kind of like a Cheers setting with, you know, characters that are recurring and they can solve mysteries. And he said, can you put something together like a proposal for me? And I said, sure. So I did. And he loved it. And then he said, you know, we love it and we're going to contract for a couple of books in this. And there's just one little catch. We need you to come up with a new name and a new pseudonym. And I was like, why? And he said, because Annalise Ryan and the Maddie Winston series was about five books in and they weren't sure yet if it was going to take off or if it was going to tank. And then they didn't want the Annalise Ryan series to affect the new series. And they didn't want the new series, if it tanked, to affect the Annalise Ryan series. And they wanted another newly discovered author that they could pitch out there. So this time I got a little more strategic with my pseudonyms. And I know that if you go in a bookstore and you walk up to the mystery section, all of the A's are on the top shelf at eye level, very easy to find and grab. I know that because Beth Amos was up there with one little book, and then V.C. Andrews had the whole rest of the shelf. But anyway, I was up there. And V.C. Andrews was dead at that point, but still writing. So I decided I was going to pick a last name that started with A. And so I came up with Abbott, A-B. That's pretty close to the front. And then I got a little sly about it and came up with a first name and a middle initial so that the initials for the whole thing were A.K.A., since it was another pseudonym.
Yeah.
And so
that was
my little inside joke. And my editor got it right away. The minute I sent him the email with the new name, he sent an email back 30 seconds later and said, nice little trick. I love it. And so that's how Alison K. Abbott became born. And that series was a six-book series, kind of planned that way, and then ended. So Alison K. Abbott's not writing anything anymore at this point. But Annalise Ryan went on to write 12 books in the Maddie Winston series, plus a two spin-off books from that series. And then Kensington decided that they weren't going to do any more of those books. And I was once again back at square one trying to relaunch my career. So I spent the year of COVID writing a book that I thought my agent was really going to love, something different. I thought this is a chance to exercise my writing muscles and use some of the plots that I've been storing away. And so I wrote this book that I thought my agent was just going to love, and he absolutely hated it. And so... So I ended up shelving it, and it took place in Door County, and I had done a lot of research in Door County because I vacation up there a lot, and I decided, when we were talking on the phone and deciding not to do anything with the book he hated, we started brainstorming, and we came up with the idea. He said, well, you know, what kind of things do you like, you know? And I said, well, I like books, and I like the X-Files, and I like, you know, that kind of stuff, and that's how we kind of came about the idea of A Death in Door County. And so Wisconsin, as it turns out, has plenty of cryptids that we can play with and move around the state with. So yeah, that's how the series got started.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Beth Amos, aka Annalise Ryan, aka Alison Abbott, who is a Wisconsin author. And so that is what I actually think is fascinating, because the story is the cryptozoologist and bookstore. It's also funny because I feel like ER nurse and author. Like you said, when you got to Wisconsin, like, what is it about Wisconsin, like, that was so different from Virginia that it itself is a character in itself that is ripe to write about?
Well, when I lived in Virginia, I lived in a bigger city. I lived in Richmond. The culture there is very much still the North versus the South. There's people there that still think we're fat in the woe of Northern aggression. And it just has a different feel to it. And when I moved to Wisconsin, I moved into a very small town, like so many in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
full of small towns. And there's a lot of rural farmland around. And there were things that, you know, in the newspaper, like you'd read the police blotter, and it would be, you know, somebody getting ticketed for parking their
tractor at the local bar, or, you know, a cow running loose down Main Street, or, you know, the number of bars there are in town is compared to the number of churches. And it's just the whole cheesehead thing, and unfortunately some of the alcohol culture. It's very quirky and different, and it's friendly, super friendly. People are very friendly here. And that was very different from where I came from in Virginia. But I had lived in other small towns, and I think it was as much the small town setting as the Wisconsin setting.
And so with the book, so A Death in Door County, and then with, like, how does that go? And like, how is that inspired then the next book that's coming out in December?
Well, the next book is actually taking place in Bayfield, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Up around Lake Superior in the Apostle Islands.
I love Bayfield.
The Shawamigan Forest. Yeah, it's beautiful up there. And there's a lot of Bigfoot traditions and lore up there. And so Bigfoot will be the second cryptid that we're going to explore. And I've already contracted and working on book three, which will... be taking place in Rhinelander. Can you guess what that cryptid's going to be?
Ooh, is it maybe going to be the Hodag?
Yeah, it's going to be a Hodag. So, yeah.
So wait, what's
you would do well in my cryptid trivia.
So what is the cryptid in Lake Michigan?
Well, I guess you'd have to read,
I have to read the book.
To find out.
That's fair. But Bigfoot, Hodag, but the mystery.
It's based on... I don't know if you can see this.
I can see
the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay.
Yes. So
I did not know that about Lake Michigan.
There are cryptids in all of the Great Lakes. There are myths and rumors and stories. They have different names here and there, but there's all kinds of cryptid stories in the Great Lakes. And given their geographical structure, it's certainly possible that something is existing down there in the depths. And we just haven't seen it yet or haven't identified it yet.
That is awesome. So you're enjoying writing for Morgan. Morgan Carter is the main hero in this series. That's a little different than Maddie was in your last series, but it seems like she has many adventures ahead of her.
She indeed does. Yes. Her and her dog, Newt. She doesn't go anywhere without Newt. So, yeah.
Great dog name. All right. Well, we have to let you go because we're running up against the break. But Beth, this was so fascinating. I have so many more questions about the pseudonym thing, but I'll have to ask you offline because that is like, I didn't know that existed they're like, no, we need you to be a new person so we can sell this book. Thanks. And so
yeah, it does make marketing a challenge.
Absolutely. So A Death in Door County is available now. Death in the Dark Woods will be available in December. Beth Amos, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. All right, we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
In the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
So my name is Maddie McCoy. I grew up in Green Bay, so I've been in Wisconsin my whole life. I own my own business. Both of my grandpas were entrepreneurs. For me, doing something on my own and allowing myself to be myself and be creative, actually impact people and see that I really could do that, has been really special. And I'm really grateful I found it as young as I did. I'm proud of the fact that my grandparents were entrepreneurs and I get to do my own thing too.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over.
then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and it is going to be hot this week, where you are.
Dangerously hot.
Much of Wisconsin is going to have a heat index above 100 this week, and specifically for tomorrow and Thursday, likely the hottest days of the year, they're expecting.
Oh, yeah.
So be careful.
I mean, we're talking about 111... 113. That's not the actual temperature, but that's what the heat index is going to feel like with the humidity and everything. So these are crazy, crazy temperatures. First and foremost, if you work outside, and I'm sure you already know this, but you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Mailmen, roofers. I just think of all the people who landscapers.
Yeah. FedEx worker, so many people that when you can't actually just, but also I saw something yesterday. I think Todd Elba talked about this on his show yesterday. There's certain, because of the landlord laws, there's landlords who can forbid you from having an air conditioning unit.
Oh man.
And so there's certain people who just don't, we say we're lucky enough to work in an air conditioned building, live in an air conditioning home, but there's a lot of people who still don't have air conditioning and just have to rely on fans. Or maybe tomorrow's a good day to go see Barbie if you haven't seen it.
Go
yet.
See Barbie, go to a library.
Yeah.
Go take a long, long, long grocery shopping trip.
Yeah.
Just to get out of the heat. And it's the same warnings, but I think there's value in repeating them. Don't take your dog with you tomorrow.
Don't leave your dog in the car.
Don't leave your dog in the car. Honestly, they can suffocate in minutes when it's this hot. Same with children and the elderly.
Yeah.
So if you have an elderly neighbor or an elderly relative and they don't have air conditioning, you need to check on them to make sure that they're going to be okay.
Well, and I just feel so lucky because I had a friend who asked me who lives in, they just moved from Houston to Rio de Janeiro, but that's a big, big jump. But she was saying, obviously, because they're on the other side of the equator, getting used to, what is winter for them right now is still not really winter. But she's used to the humidity because they lived in Houston for the last, 10 years.
And Houston's built on a big swamp.
Mm-hmm. But she asked, she's like, how's Wisconsin been with the heat? Have you guys had the same heat as Texas? And I was like, absolutely not. And, I do feel fortunate that we have 2 days of this versus so much of the South that this has been their whole summer.
Can you imagine?
Just day after day, right, over 110 degrees.
And week after week after week. And I think it might have been a day that you were gone, Kristen. But in Arizona, the ERs were getting overwhelmed with people burning themselves.
Oh, you told me. Yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah.
They fell on the sidewalk.
Right. It's just crazy.
And, I don't want to end necessarily on a
downer,
but it is. It's like if you track this summer and this over the weekend, it was the tropical storm Hillary with the hurricane that hit Southern California. We're dealing with the Maui wildfires. And we've had like these heat domes like across the country. But just a reminder that hurricane season basically starts now. So we're not even through what will be inevitably probably more natural disasters that are coming for the fall. Yeah. So
it's all related, folks.
Speaking of which, have you seen how hot it is in Europe where you're going to be going as of Thursday? Have we talked about that?
Not really. London looks a little chilly, upper 60s, lower 70s. It can really vary when you're in London because they've had some heat as well and a little rain. So, but again, that's London. It's an island.
It is an island.
It is an island.
Let's talk more. Let's actually end on a happier note. Let's talk about your trip because this is the last day I'm going to see you until September 12th.
Yes.
Which is the longest time you and I have gone without seeing each other.
In over a year.
Maybe even more than that, because before we were at the same place and I saw you daily.
At least, right.
For like a year and a half.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God, what am I going to do?
You will have Greg Bach.
I will have Greg
Bach. You will have
Greg
Bach.
Tell people about your fun vacation that you're finally taking.
Yeah, we are going to London for about 3 days, and then we're going to go to Dubrovnik in Croatia,
ooh,
where they filmed some parts of Game of Thrones. So it's a very, very ancient city. It's one of those old walled-in cities. We like old rocks, my husband and I.
Okay.
We like climbing on old rocks and looking at old rocks and talking about the history of the rocks. And I've talked to several people who have been to Dubrovnik, and they have all said that 3 days is about enough.
Okay.
And then we are going to the Algarve area of Portugal, which is like the southern coastline of Portugal, for about 9. So we try to do our educational portion of the trip, because when we're in London, we'll probably go to the National Portrait Gallery.
Okay.
I haven't been back there for many, many years. And we like to hit some museums and do some cultural things and try and learn some things. And then for the second half, we're beach slugs.
That's nice. That's really nice.
Yeah.
But this is your first time leaving the country since COVID, right?
Since 2019. That was our last vacation, was in 2019.
So that's got to be pretty exciting. Are you nervous at all after, are you feel out of practice?
Well, I can remember back in the day when flying was actually fun. And flying hasn't been fun for a long time. Now it's just a pain in the neck.
What do you mean by fun?
There wasn't so much waiting. You didn't have to be there 3 hours ahead of time. You didn't have to wait. And although we have TSA pre-check and all that stuff, so we can get through some of the lines a little bit faster.
Well, and also I'm assuming he's not a U.S. citizen, that he's still a...
He's an English citizen.
Great, yeah. So you guys can skip through those lines once you're entering Europe.
Into England, yep. And there's always the chance that one of my fellow passengers is going to lose their you-know-what, and I'm going to have to duct tape them to their seat.
Well, have you not been on a plane since 2020 at all?
No.
So you haven't really, so you've only seen how, you only
how
seen stories
people,
of how nuts.
How nuts people are.
I would say in my, the handful of flights I've taken since 2020, there's only been one time that someone was
nuts.
So you don't assume that that's going to happen. It's one of those things where the reporting of it is maybe not proportionate to like how the percentage of it is actually still quite small.
Well, okay, I'll take that. I still think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen on our flight right next to me.
It might.
I'll have duct tape. I'll be good.
There you go. There, just make sure it's in your carry-on.
It's all good.
All right. Well, tomorrow we will be on site. Well, Jane will be in the studio. I will be on site with Greg Bach at Whitetail Broadcasting Live from downtown Milwaukee, doing a lot of debate stuff. Excited to hear your thoughts on what you want to hear. What moves the needle for you? Are you going to watch it all? But we will do that tomorrow. Make sure you tune in. We've got a lot of fun coming up tomorrow. It's going to be a big day. So thank you for our guests today. Thank you to everyone who made it such a great show and calling in and texting in. And we'll be back tomorrow. This has been As It Goes, Wisconsin.
In the city. Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Hi, my name is Representative Schmidt. I represent Assembly District 6. My family owns a dairy farm called Schmidt's Ponderosa, the south of Bondwell, and I'm the third generation. I farm with my parents and two other siblings. I currently take care of the dry cows and other odds and ends on the farm. That allows me to be flexible with my position in Madison. The rural folks in the rural parts of the state, they understand their natural resources and the urgency to protect them and preserve for future generations. Urban people like the rural folks because we're very warm and generous, and that's where we kind of get lost with the partisan politics. Both sides of us at the end of the day, we love the state of Wisconsin.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Pack.